It's interesting. The one of doing good is the one that catches you the most often, I think. I was speaking to an AIDS group this morning, and I told a story about, I was asked to see a fellow in New Mexico who had MS. And I said, sure, and I went to see him. And he was squatting on his toilet, and I sat down in the tub in the bathroom. And he had a very advanced case of MS. He had to pull himself around by poles, and was quite emaciated. And I sat down, and I was about to look up and to be with him. And I'm so used to watching my own mind now from my meditative practice that as I looked at where I was, I saw that I was about to be righteous. I was somebody that had come to help somebody with MS. I mean, it was a subtle little trap, but I could feel it in my mind. I was about to do good. You know that feeling? Here, let me do good, you know? And I was just caught in that subtle little place of doing good. And I looked up, about to do good, to this poor being with MS. And I looked into his eyes, and there wasn't anybody there with MS. There was just another being. His package had MS, but he didn't. And he looked at me, and our gaze locked, and within about 10 seconds, I had completely been pulled out of my righteousness. He helped me. At that moment, we just went into love, and we hugged, and then we were in ecstasy together, and we just delighted for the next 40 minutes in the beauty and the awesomeness of the universe, including MS and including death and after death and all that stuff. We just were at play. And I went away, I thought, who helped whom? Those moments when something frees you from the entrapment of your own mind, how sweet those moments are. There's one other story that comes to mind. I may have told it here when I was here last time, I'm not sure. John and Tony Lilly invited me to swim with the dolphins. The dolphins are named Joe and Rosie. This was some years back, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I went to this tank. They were in a tank in Redwood City, and it was a cold, gray day. This is in California. And I got in my bathing suit. There was no wetsuits. And I was standing by the tank thinking, you sure you want to do this? I mean, why did you want to swim with the dolphins in the first place? You know, it's cold and I'm getting old and what the hell do I need this for, you know? So I got into the tank because my friend was already in, and I got into the tank and started to paddle water, whatever you do, tread water. And people were watching to see what Ram Dass was going to do with the dolphins. So whatever I did, I had a smile. I knew that. I mean, that's like, yeah, that's all. It's all showbiz. So I was smiling, and they went by me very close and very fast, and they were very big. I mean, they were considerably bigger than I'd expected they would be. And I thought, this is their territory, you know, and I really felt like an interloper. And then one of them just hovered right here, that was Rosie. And I reached out and I touched Rosie. All the time my mind is thinking, what do you do with dolphins? See, you touch them, that's nice. I touched them, I assumed the dolphin would swim away, because to me it was a big fish. I mean, you know, I'm not very sophisticated. So I touched it, and it didn't pull away. It was so silky. I had never touched anything like it. I mean, it made silk seem like burlap. It was so incredibly soft. And I started to rub it, and I got into the sensuality of it, and I was just rubbing it. And at one moment, the presence of that being who wasn't going away, I realized that that being was receiving that and was still there. And the intensity of the presence of that being blew my mind, or it took me out of my analytic mind. And I sort of gave up, and I went into ecstasy. I went into that state of, ah. And the minute I did that, within about 2 seconds, Rosie had flipped around. She was upright, pressed against me with her mouth right here, and I was kissing her and hugging her and saying, oh, Rosie, I love you so much. Oh, Rosie, oh, God. And she started to insinuate her body, and I started to get aroused, you see? And I thought, and everybody's watching, see? And I think, you know, is this legal? You know, I mean, it's like, you know. Well, then she went around, came up under my arm, and I wanted to swim with her, and I held the fin, and I went down, and then my hand slipped off, and she came back under, and I did it again, and finally I thought I'd really like to hold her under her belly, but that's coming on a little strong, and I put my arm under her belly, and we started to swim, and she was wild, and I thought, it's bugging her, so I let go, and she immediately came under my arm again. She was just going to train me, you know, like... And so finally I said, okay, here we go. And I held on and we went wildly swimming through the tank. It was, oh God, it was like a child's fantasy. And then after a while I thought, well, Rosie, this is great for you, but I got to breathe, you know? I mean, it's like, and the minute I thought that, she came to the surface. I mean, it was like the thought just propelled her up. And then we'd go down, and every time I felt the need for breath, she'd come to the surface and wait and then go down. And once I came up, and they were taking photographs, and I got busy hamming it up for the photographer, and I forgot to take a breath. And we went down, I thought, uh-oh, this is where Rosie and I separate, and she came right up again within about 3 seconds. And after about 40 minutes, I was shaking with cold, and I wouldn't let go because it was too great. And she shook me off, went and got Joe, and they nosed me over to the holding platform and forced me out. They decided I had enough. But the part of the story that I really want to tell was that it took me out of my mind, that it helped me get back into my intuitive heart space. And that was a great gift. That was a great teaching for me.